right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, February 1st, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everybody. There's a hint of sarcasm in there. It is 40 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. But hey, at least it's Monday and it's not snowing here. So that makes me very happy. So where do we leave off on Friday? Zika in the news. Zika's everywhere. And good old Claire Burnish, I got to give you a kudos, Claire. Claire's story made it everywhere. She put out a story Thursday or Friday last week. Nobody had heard of Zika except for you guys, pretty much, or been paying attention. And now everybody's paying attention. So that means that we've done something right. We titled the show Oxitec, Tetracycline, Zika, Ears, and Eyeballs, and we looked at all kinds of different stuff. I don't know if we're going to get to any more Zika today, because there is a World Health Organization emergency meeting being called today, so I really want to see what they have to say there. There's been quite a bit of research that has been put out since Thursday or Friday. And I do have some of those queued up as well to take a look at. But I got to tell you guys, I put my back out. I really think it was all that testing and stress. And I really ended up with a lower back nerve pinch or something. And so it's been a difficult weekend. I spent most of my weekend in a horizontal position, laying there going, stop, don't move. So feeling a little bit better today, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how far I get. All right. So anyway, we ended the show up on Friday looking at ears and eyeballs. There was a poor little mousie. They were growing human ears on his back. It was pretty disgusting. And then we saw the implantable eye from Australia. The very end of the show, we finished it off with a story out of Australia, ScienceAlert.com, titled, Study Suggests That the Internet Could Really Out-Evolve Humanity. It's not so science fiction after all. And I think that's where we're going to continue on today. So, all right, let's check this out. And I got a story, I don't know, it came both from Hammy and Lady Pitbull. So I queued that sucker up that's in here about the evolution of humans coming. All right, study suggests the internet really could out-evolve humanity. Careful what you ask for, transhumanists. Living things accumulate and reproduce information. That's really the driving principle behind life and behind evolution. Yeah, when we don't mess with it, of course. But humans have invented a new method of accumulating and reproducing information, and that is its digital information. And it's growing at an astonishing speed. The number of people using the internet is growing, as are the devices connected to it through the Internet of Things. Digital information can copy itself perfectly. Increase in copy number with every download or view can be modified and mutated or combined to generate novel information packets, and it can be expressed through artificial intelligence. These are characteristics similar to those of living things. And artificial intelligence can beat us at a chess game or on game shows. And I just read Google's artificial intelligence won some new really difficult game. I have that story queued up as well. We'll probably look at that today. And what's more, it is faster than us, smarter than us in some areas, and is already in charge of activities that are too complex for us to do efficiently. To biologists, that sounds like the digital world might be able to outcompete us. As we argue in a paper published in Trends in Ecology and Evolution, a newly evolved entity can cause upheavals for life on Earth. In fact, all the major evolutionary transitions in the history of life have come about via changes to information storage and transmission. And the digital revolution has certainly changed the way information is stored and transmitted. The current storage capacity of the internet is approaching 10 to the 24 bytes and is growing at 30% to 40% per year, showing no signs of slowing down. In the 3.7 billion years since life began, information in living things, i.e. its DNA, has reached the equivalent of 10 to the 37 bytes. So the capacity of the internet's 10 to the 24 bytes. Capacity of DNA has reached 10 to the 37 bytes. We're not that far behind. Digital information will grow to this size within 100 years, and that is an evolutionary blink of an eye. During each evolutionary transition, there have been winners and losers, and we need to start asking if the digital transition poses a danger to humanity. What do you think? Come on. I mean, honestly, guys, I've been saying this since probably one of the first days that I flipped on the switch doing radio. I mean, I started with all my Fukushima stuff, but I was doing this for a living, and I've been talking about dystopian futures for 25 years. So I saw it coming. Not sure how all these smart guys are finally going, uh-oh, we got a problem, Clyde, but we definitely have a problem. And we have lunatics that are in charge of steering the ship. That's what worries me even more. Mad science gone mad for everybody, whether you like it or not. Anyway, back to this. During each evolutionary transition, there have been winners and losers, and we need to start asking if the digital transition poses a danger to humanity. We do have the advantage of hindsight to answer this question. We know that each of the Earth's evolutionary transitions essentially resulted in the enslavement of the old information carriers. So that'll be us, and I can see it happening. RNA was the original carrier of information, and when DNA came along, the role of RNA was relegated to simply relaying messages from DNA to the cell. When complex cells arose, they subsumed simpler bacteria cells. These became power generators, i.e. the mitochondria, and solar panels, i.e. the chloroplasts, serving the needs of the new cell types. The next transition resulted in organisms with multiple cells. And most of these cells did not pass their information to the next generation, but existed simply to support those few cells that did. The development of the nervous system that collected information from the environment provided huge advantages for animals, and this activity reached its peak in human societies with the transmission of information between generations via language and culture. This has allowed humans to dominate the planet, such as we have triggered a new geological epoch, the Anthropocene. So the lessons of evolutionary history are clear. Transitions in the way information is replicated and stored often make existing organisms extinct, can lead to parasitism, or in the best case scenario, can lead to a cooperative mutual relationship, right? Until we're done creating them, and then they'll do in their maker. Or we must assimilate. Global leaders are already warning about the dangers of autonomous military robots taking over the world, reminiscent of horror scenes of science fiction such as The Terminator. And we are increasingly connected to the digital world via our devices and direct connections to our brain around the horizon. DARPA, yes, brain implants, we did all that. And if we fuse brains with the internet, we may gain new sensory and cognitive capabilities. And fusing the brain to the internet, of course, is something that Kurzweil has rubbed his hands over for a long time. This is what they've been talking about with this cognition. We have artificial intelligence coming at us from every direction. The Internet of Things, smart wearables, implantables very soon. Live brain surgeries with National Geographic to put in one of these brain implants. The internationally funded brain project. Obama inking executive orders for support of the brain project. And now we're going to have all these children with brain disorders that we'll just have to find a way to fix medically. Be very interesting. We are increasingly connected to the digital world via our devices and direct connections to our brain around the horizon. If we fuse our brains with the internet, we may gain new sensory and cognitive capabilities, but we also may lose our grasp of what is us and what is real, i.e. the Matrix. And never thought of this one. Or expose ourselves to digital parasites. Could you imagine catching a virus in your brain from the internet? I think DARPA Dan's going to have to build you some antivirus for your brain. I mean, what the hell is that? Who would have thought of that? And I'm sure with all these ways they're finding for connecting neurons, we did a story a couple days ago about the new HD brain connections that they're coming out with from DARPA where they could connect. I don't know actually if it was direct from DARPA or was one of the universities. I'm sure it was one of the universities with DARPA funding. But you'll be able to connect up to 1 million neurons on one connection for this full-blown HD data dump. As our activities and physiological states are increasingly being monitored, tracked, and analyzed, and our every thought and every action could be predicted, well, we've documented that pretty well, I'd have to say. Such as in 1984 by George Orwell of the Minority Report, biological information systems might then become a predictable cog in a digitally governed social system. Well, we said that. That's what all these wearables are about. Don't give it up, people. Don't give up when you sleep or where you walk or how many steps or what nutrition you ate, or your heartbeat, or your breathing rate, or any of that personalized, up to the minute, collectible information. They're profiling you. They are taking profiles of any human that'll give it up right now for free. And they're using you for experimental purposes to be able to create behavioral algorithms. Don't give it up and don't help the machine. Eventually, I don't think it's going to be voluntary, but at least for now it still is. So don't help them. Oh, yeah, my Fitbit's going to make me healthier. No, it isn't. Get off your ass and go exercise. You know, stop eating all the junk food and make some chicken for dinner. You don't need a Fitbit to tell you how to do that. Decision systems and artificial intelligence networks mimic human brains and coordinate our everyday interactions. You know, the other thing is as we start giving up more and more responsibility for thinking for ourselves or making our own decisions. You know, like I was talking about the other day, some of the research I was doing on the brain and building neurons and building new pathways is the more you use your brain, the more neural pathways construct themselves, the stronger the connections for the more stuff you focus on. And as we focus less on that stuff, like we're finding with the adult attention span being that of a goldfish, and the medical professionals are blaming it on smart devices. So as we farm out more and more of our responsibility, mentally especially, thinking, like, don't think the computer will do it for you. We get stupider and stupider. And as humans become stupider, we become more like farm animals. We already are like farm animals. You see how nobody pays attention? Everybody's distracted. And they've all been relegated down to drooling idiots in front of a television. Pretty much. How many people? And there are still people out there. I'm not going to demonize the entire planet, but I got to tell you, I really get disappointed at us as a species. When I'm out at a party or something, not that that ever happens, not that I ever get out of this place too often, but every once in a while I get out to a party and I meet some new people, and I am just really horrified at how few people on this planet you can really have an intelligent conversation with. Now, I can tell you in the United States that is true. I've been overseas a few times. And overseas, that is not so true. Overseas, people still seem to get it. People still seem to have their own opinions and well-thought-out opinions with reasons and research as to why they feel the way they believe, why they believe the way they feel. But not here in the United States. Why is that? Let's think about it. Let's think about the food. That, you know, we're such a GMO-friendly country that companies over in Europe are packing it up and moving over here with their headquarters because it's just so much easier to sell their crap here. Now we got GMO companies for GMO mosquitoes that are getting all excited because holy shit, Zika's spreading everywhere. That means that good old Obama... Right, we talked about that on Thursday or Friday. It was Friday. Obama now is saying, hey, step it up. Let's dump all this money into Zika virus. Rapid research per Obama. I did see a story last night. You guys gotta, I don't know if we're gonna get here today, but there was a hit piece done. A direct hit piece done about that Zika story. That Zika story that... there was a direct hit piece done calling out by name in Discover over the weekend about the Zika thing. And I'm going to tell you, they do not know. They do not know. And if you dig far enough down in all the techno babble, you will see that they do not know what causes Zika. Though, they are going to keep telling you that this virus that wasn't ever worried about ever is being anything serious ever, just somehow mutated. And, I mean, who even knows what it is? But I'm just saying, just somehow mutated. And now there's all these thousands of babies with this microencephaly that was caused by this virus that didn't even basically cause anyone to feel sick half the time. Just out of the blue. It's incredible. Incredible, incredible how that happens. But here's the thing. If a magazine, a so-called science magazine like Discover, who I have to say, you know, I am really, really disappointed at this point after reading the drivel that I saw this weekend out of Discover magazine by, what was her name? Wilcox? Let's see what her name is. The shill. Christy Wilcox, the shill. After seeing the drivel that I saw out of Christy Wilcox from Discover magazine this weekend, I have to say I'm questioning anything that I've ever seen printed in Discover magazine. Drivel. And how disappointed I am that Discover was the one place growing up that I wanted to work. When I got my English degree, that's who I was going to go write for. When I graduated college, that's where I sent my very first resume, was to Discover Magazine, if you can even believe it. And then I see that they have these bumping into wall pretend journalists paid for by obvious GMO companies to write hit pieces on people that are just raising very good questions. Now, scientists do not know what is causing the microencephaly. They don't. And you know, Pigmine brought up a really good point last night. Brazil is probably one of the world's biggest users of pesticides in the world. They're a huge agricultural market. And so we dug in last night, taking a look at what kind of pesticides Brazil uses. And guess what? Brazil, Syngenta, is selling pesticides hand over fist in Brazil. And you know what they're selling? Oh, stuff that's banned here in the United States, like paraquat everywhere. They're spraying paraquat everywhere. And then you have mafias and drug cartels down there spraying who the hell knows what. And it all goes into the water. You also have, I saw John Rappaport, and I queued up some of these stories. He put out a couple good ones this weekend. He was pointing out the DAPT vaccines that they started giving all the pregnant women down in Brazil a year ago. The epicenter, something else I discovered, you know, this Christy Wilcox. Like, what a dumb name to Christy. Are you an adult or are you a wannabe 20-year-old? Christy. Christy Wilcox. And no offense to, I have friends named Christy. But if you're going to be a science writer, try and get an adult name, Christy. And yeah, I'm just being rude. She called out Claire by name in a total nasty bitch slap in this story. I was beyond annoyed with this woman. And honestly, I really hope that we see some good hit pieces on her in writing, because it was a travesty. Don't read Discover Magazine. I am banning Discover Magazine after this story from ever being in any of my research, because you have completely discredited yourself. And that's from a reader of 48 years. Well, however long I've been reading. I don't know. I was a teenager when I first started getting Discover. It's probably 30 years I've been a reader. So what? That's where I wanted to work. That's why I got my English degree. That was the place I wanted to go. And to put a story out there attacking a journalist who is asking some really good questions, because I tell you what, Oxitec isn't looking out for you and me. But to put it out with a headline picture of a kitty cat wearing a tinfoil hat and a biohazard symbol, and then call out somebody by name saying how absolutely irresponsible they are. And I mean, they ripped apart the entire genre of alternative media in this one article because somebody is questioning the GMO mosquitoes. Are you freaking kidding me? It's obvious to me that Christy does not understand science. And Christy does not understand what's going on in the mad science labs, Christy. So why don't you go back to school, get an education, do a little bit of reading. Hey, why don't you tell Monsanto to fuck off and stop sending you a paycheck? And then maybe we can talk. And hey, Christy, you know what? You want to call into my show 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, 718-717-8296, because I'd love to talk to you, Christy Wilcox. You've pissed me off. Anyway, something else I discovered while I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning researching Christy Wilcox's bullshit and try to find ways to stick it to her was that guess what? Guess what? In July of 2014, guess who opened up a brand new mosquito production factory in Brazil? Oh, Oxitec, yes! Guess where? Oh, where they released all the mosquitoes? Yes! Guess what's just to the east of where this factory is for producing these mosquitoes? Oh, the outbreak epicenter. Yes! Nobody's picked up on that one yet. But hey, Christy, I guess we all must be tinfoil hat wearing cats, huh? Oh, talk about picking a fight, man. Yeah, talk about, I'll tell you what, I ever go to New York City, Christy, you and I'll be doing some lunch. I couldn't even believe what a sack of garbage this was, and I am waiting for the retort, and I can't wait to see it, Christy. But I'm calling you out, honey. Here, I dropped into chat for everyone to look at. I'm calling you out, Christy Wilcox, because I could guarantee you that I've done 1,000 times the research of anything that you could ever do on the Zika, and I would love to debate you on air. Christy Wilcox, without all of your paid statements that you're allowed to say, given to you by the GMO industry. All right, so I wasn't even going there, though. I had to go off on a tangent because this chick, I saw this picture, she just pissed me off. And yeah, we do lose, JJ, because I'm going to tell you what, there is a lot of spinning going on, and it means that we're right over the targets. That's all I got to say. If we weren't right over the targets, they would not be attacking and calling people. Discover Magazine calling Claire out by name? Are you kidding me? You don't do that regardless of what magazine or what the topic is. You play nice and you play professional. Well, Discover Magazine lost every ounce of respect for me yesterday. All right, let's go back to how we're becoming extinct, because that's what all of this is about. All right, so everything's being monitored, of course. Don't give it up. Don't give up your daily routine. Don't give up your calorie intake. Don't give up the steps walked or the amount of sleep you've had. Just don't give it up. It's all being used to eventually figure out ways to capitalize on you. And not just monetarily, to be able to bag, tag, and track you. Mad science gone mad you. Decision systems and artificial intelligence networks mimic human brains and coordinate our everyday interactions. They decide on what internet advertisements we are exposed to, execute the majority of stock exchange transactions, and run the electrical power grids. And hey, they're going to take all your jobs in the next 4 years. I just saw that on mainstream news last night, too. And people are still denying it. That's another one we've been talking about for a very long time. And the news is everywhere. It's coming, guys. It's coming. Why are genetically modified mosquitoes any different? Why are they going to be for the benefit of humanity? What are they doing right now that's for the benefit of humanity? Tell me that. What are they doing right now to make it better for everyone? Oh, what? They're coming up with all these cures. Yeah. 21st century mad science medicine. And hey, guess what? You, me, and our kids, they're just the guinea pigs. Yeah, they're going to pretend it's for you. Come on, little Johnny. You got leukemia. We'll fix it. Oh, it was experimental. Sorry it didn't work out, Johnny, and you died. Hey, there's another million other Johnnies that came down with leukemia from being exposed to, oh, I don't know, the toxic waste that was buried in your backyard for 50 years that nobody knew about, and we just built another subdivision development on top of little Johnny. But hey, guess what? Now we got a whole generation of little Johnnies that are willing human participants in this sick ass system. And it's all connected. It's all connected. The rich guys have created the system that you participate in, but it's all for their benefit, upside down and sideways. Once they've done all the experimentation on little Johnny and they discover how to properly cure little Johnny and 100 little Johnnies don't die, then it'll be ready for prime time for the people who can pay for it, for the rich people. You may laugh, but it's true. Look it up. I don't know. Do as much research as we have here and then tell me I'm wrong, because I'm not wrong. Decision systems and artificial intelligence networks mimic human brains, coordinate our everyday interactions. But in biological terms, fusions like these, those between flesh bots and our digital overlords of two unrelated organisms, are called symbioses. While we do not necessarily feel that we are mere flesh bots of our digital overlords, the merging of humans with the digital world has now passed the point of no return. And I guess it has, because we are so damn addicted to our devices. We are so damn connected to the internet, to our cell phones. All businesses are connected. All commerce passes over it. There is no turning it off. Unless we get a big fat EMP, it's going to set us back a couple hundred years. And even then, they might be able to resurrect it. You know, I'm sure that there are ways. Who knows? But we are beyond the point of no return. In biological terms, fusions like these of two unrelated organisms are called symbioses. And in nature, symbioses have the potential to turn into a parasitic relationship, where one organism fares much better than the other. We need to start thinking about the internet as an organism that can evolve. Whether it cooperates or competes with us is cause for considerable concern. Now, something else I wanted to bring up, though, talking about evolution. All of this stuff can evolve. All of these technologies and the mad science gone mad, because we're using technology to build the next technology, it's exponential. We have an evolution going on every revision where artificial intelligence is improving itself. Out of Wired magazine, January 27th, in a huge breakthrough, Google's AI beats a top player at the game of Go. Now, I don't know Go, but it's supposed to be pretty complicated. It looks like a combination of chess and checkers. All kinds of crazy sideways and zigzaggy moves. In a major breakthrough for artificial intelligence, a computing system developed by Google researchers in Great Britain has beaten a top human player at the game of Go, the ancient Eastern contest of strategy and intuition that has bedeviled AI experts for decades. Machines have topped the best humans at most games held up as measure of human intellect, including chess, Scrabble, Othello, even Jeopardy. But with Go, a 2,500-year-old game that's exponentially more complex than chess. I should teach my kid this one. She's really into chess right now. She joined the chess club at school. I didn't even know they had one. So they play chess at lunch. But it's good. I mean, it's great for their brains. But I've never heard of this game, and it's more complex than chess. Human grandmasters have maintained an edge over the most agile computing systems, that is up until now. Earlier this month, top AI experts outside of Google questioned whether a breakthrough could come anytime soon, and as recently as last year, many believed another decade would pass before a machine could beat the top humans. And see, that's the thing. All of these talking heads and mainstream are telling you guys that, hey, don't worry about this stuff. Because we're not there yet. It's 30 years down the pike. Don't worry about robots, AI. Genetically modified things being let out into the world to see just what happens. Nah, don't worry about it. It's all safe. We wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't safe, right? It's all in your best interests, right? No, not right. We've discovered, like we've been saying all along, this is way more far ahead than anything they've been saying. And when we looked at computational evolution, computer evolutionary theory that they were doing in the lab, and they were showing one generation of computer or robot creating the next generation of robot, and how that original robot creating the next generation was actually passing down their evolutionary traits intentionally, the ones that made them strong, and eliminating the traits that made them weak, and using their computational power to then improve themselves and make themselves faster so the next generation had actually evolved. That's happening at an exponential rate with all of our computing power right now, pretty much. And now experts are saying, whoops, we were wrong. It's not 30 years from now before the robots take over. We saw a story last week. By 2020, they're saying 70% of jobs could be taken. 70. That's 4 years from now. Well, apparently, same with artificial intelligence, because they thought, no, it'd be at least another decade before Google's AI can overtake a top human at this game called Go. Well, you were wrong. But Google's done just that. And listen, this has been echoed by every single one of these when we read these stories. Oh, it happened way faster than I thought, says Remy Coulomb, the French researcher behind what was previously the world's top artificially intelligent Go player. Researchers at DeepMind, a self-professed Apollo program for AI that Google acquired in 2014. And I believe that's where good old Ray Kurzweil is. I think that's his program. DeepMind, a self-professed Apollo program for AI that Google acquired in 2014, staged this machine versus man contest in October at the company's offices in London. The DeepMind system, dubbed AlphaGo, matched its artificial wits against Fan Hui, Europe's reigning Go champion, and the AI system went undefeated in 5 games, witnessed by an editor from the Journal of Nature and an arbiter representing the British Go Federation. It was one of the most exciting moments in my career, both as a researcher. Hold on. I really hate when they do this. Here, both as a researcher and an editor, these stupid ads on here where they move the entire page. First they lock it up and then they move it. This morning, Nature published a paper describing the DeepMind system, which makes clever use, among other techniques, of an increasingly important AI technology called deep learning. So this is the stuff we've been talking about with Google and Kurzweil. Using a vast collection of Go moves from expert players, about 30 million moves in total, DeepMind researchers train their system to play Go on its own. But this was merely the first step. In theory, such training only produces a system as good as the best humans. And to beat the best, the researchers then match their system against itself. and this allowed them to generate a new collection of moves that they could then use to train the new AI player that could then top the Grandmaster. So basically what they're saying is they took all the information the Grandmaster's put out there and fed it into this deep learning AI system, and then had the AI system, quote-unquote, evolve better moves by having it pitted against itself to come up with the next generation of moves even better than a human Grandmaster to win. Don't give up information to the machine, people. It's going to outdo us all. Any type of information. I think it's time to completely cut all ties. It has come to that point. The most significant aspect of all of this is that AlphaGo isn't just an expert system built with handcrafted rules, says Demi Habayas, who oversees DeepMind. Instead, it uses general machine learning techniques on how to win at Go. And the win is more than a novelty. Online services like Google, Facebook, and Microsoft are already using deep learning to what? Oh, yes, identify your pictures, recognize your spoken words. That's, of course, why they give you free calling between Facebook users, because they are using, and of course, Microsoft's Skype. They're analyzing all your YouTube videos, and they're scanning them all and using that as learning tools. It's combined deep learning techniques. They can recognize spoken words and understand natural language. Yeah, slang and all, based upon the context. DeepMind's techniques, which combine deep learning with a technology called reinforcement learning and other methods, points the way to a future where real-world robots can learn to perform physical tasks and respond to their environments. Yes, Hasiabi says this is a natural fit for robotics. He also believes that these methods can accelerate scientific research, and he envisions scientists working alongside our future enslavers. Yeah. The artificially intelligent systems that can home in on areas of research likely to be fruitful. So that's the first step of becoming the slave. The system could process a much larger volume of data and surface the structural insight to the human expert in a way that is much more efficient, or may not even be possible for a human expert. The system could even suggest a way forward that might point the human expert to a breakthrough. You know, how long are you going to be the human expert? Because it's not going to be very long. Give them one or two more little generations here of AI, you will be irrelevant. But at the moment, Go remains his primary concern. And after beating a Grandmaster behind closed doors, Hasiabis and his team aim to beat one of the world's top players in a public forum in mid-March in South Korea. AlphaGo will challenge Lee Sedol, who holds more international titles than all but one player and has won the most over the past decade. Hasabi sees him as the Roger Federer of the Go world. So put on a seatbelt, people, because AI is just taking another step forward, and they've been really quiet about it. I had no idea that Go was more complicated than Jeopardy or chess. I had never heard of it before. I have probably about 12 stories queued up for today, and I've kind of bounced around a bit. I told you I'm still not feeling too hot. My back is killing me. Hoping tomorrow we'll be able to go full speed ahead. I think one thing I'm going to do is I am going to hold off on any new Zika stories until after this emergency World Health Organization meeting, and I have read what they are planning on doing. Of course, they already announced that there is a vaccine waiting in the wings for something that still hasn't been proven was even being caused by a virus that never caused problems ever before since they discovered it in Uganda in 1947 in monkeys with a Rockefeller-financed research team. Somebody also found over the weekend, there's a lab in the UK that's selling Zika freeze-dried. I don't remember how much it was. I had it up here on the screen last night. $500, 500 pounds maybe for a freeze-dried sample. Oh, yeah. Well, that was that one. And you can buy it online. So, I mean, come on. It's a crock of shit. It's all a crock of shit. It's something else that's being done. I still say don't rule out those GMO mosquitoes because, like they say in one of these stories, they're flying hypodermic needles. They can put anything they want in those damn mosquitoes. And when we find out that money for the original projects came from some of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds, as well as World Health Organization, National Institute of Health, they're all behind financing genetically modified mosquitoes. Don't try and tell me that this is for my own good, okay? I don't trust any of these organizations, and they don't deserve our trust. I think we're going to end off the show here since we started on AI crap with the story that Lady Pitbull and Hammy both sent me this morning. It was out of Daily Mail that, oh, wait, Christy Wilcox out of Discover Magazine calls the Daily Fail. Oh, you're so damn funny, Christy. I just, that story beyond annoyed me, and it was less than professional. So I am now returning the favor at being less than professional, Christy. Is technology causing us to evolve into a new species? Well, hey, I bet the genetically modified mosquitoes could help that out. Yeah, a new species with half a brain that can't think for ourselves anymore and become simpletons that can be manipulated and controlled. And what? Oh, we're doing all this research into the brain. We got all these new implants and zappers and nanobots that we can inject to fix you right up. Microencephaly patients. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it all. I mean, there's a very insidious plan going on here. I'm going to tell you that we're probably going to see more highly debilitating diseases, all in the name of climate change, of course, coming as the days go forward, and then miraculous 21st century cures just whipped out of your sleeve like a magician. As the stock market goes crazy, chopping them up because, hey, it's like a feeding frenzy. Sharks all in the water. And we are the product. The technology causing us to evolve, is technology causing us to evolve into a new species? Experts believe superhumans called Homo Optimus will talk to machines and be digitally immortal by 2050 or even before that. If you're under the age of 40, which I'm not, there is a good chance that you will achieve electronic immortality during your lifetime. Well, thank God I will be gone by then. This is the idea that all of your thoughts and experiences will be uploaded and stored online for future generations. That is according to a futurologist who not only believes technologically technology will allow humans to merge with computers, but that this will create an entirely new species of Homo Optimus. And he claims this could occur as soon as 2050. And 2045 is where the transhumanists are all aiming for full merger. And I think Kurzweil is probably planning long before 2050 to be able to upload himself to the machine. And at the rate technology is going and the way this brain research is pushing forward, I don't think it's going to be another 30, 40 years before that happens. I really don't. Predictions were made by Dr. Ian Pearson as part of the lead up to the Big Bang Fair 2016. He believes that within the next 35 years, humans will live online. Well, we already kind of do. And our pets could even talk to us like real Furbies. Well, mine already can. You just need to know how to listen. And he also claims that transhumanism, the idea that we can make people technologically better, will be normalized by 2050. With optimized genomes and bodies enhanced by links to external technology, people could be more beautiful, more intelligent, more emotionally sophisticated, more physically able, more socially connected, generally healthier and happier all around. Yeah. But to do what? What use is there for beautiful, healthy, socially connected people when there's no jobs? When, I don't know, would you gonna all work in mad science? And then do your mad science on each other? Maybe. But I don't see how this is going to be for the whole planet. We're going to have all these beautiful people walking around with nothing to do because we've cured all society's ills. As humans embrace technological advances and gradually become androids, we could gradually see Homo sapiens being replaced by Homo Optimus. Since we can expect our evolutionary process to change in response to technology, and what is exciting is that it is no longer nature which is forcing changes on us, but our own breakthroughs enabling the changes we want, says Dr. Pearson. Ding, ding. Trouble, Will Robinson, is all I got to say. You know, this is a conversation I've been having with my husband, too. Keep dropping him these stories where research shows, quote unquote, that, you know, children's brains are being changed by using handheld and computing devices. That gamers show their brains have larger areas where dopamine is produced, and it makes them require more dopamine, and it literally is turning them and their brains into brains that look like and act like those of psychopaths. Yes, with dopamine addiction problems. You know, the sex, drug, and rock and roll drug of the brain. Yeah, that one. You know, like I was saying, as we farm out more of our higher thinking skills to the machine, you're going to lose that ability. It's kind of like your pinky toe. You know, it's not really used for much of anything. And evolutionarily speaking, it probably will go away someday. So it's not necessary for life because it's not being used anymore. Well, your brain's going to do the same thing, as is everything else. Like, I don't even see, if you actually go to like the Matrix where they were plugged in and laying in chairs, evolutionarily speaking, that wouldn't last for a generation or more. I mean, first of all, they wouldn't be reproducing if they were all plugged in chairs separately. But second of all, you know, what about atrophy of your muscles and bed sores and that type of thing? I mean, you can't lay forever in one spot without moving, without full breakdown of bodily systems. So in the end, what are you going to be? Like in Futurama, the room full of heads and jars? I mean, that's about it. That's absolutely about it. A head in a jar or a brain plugged into something in a jar in a back room that then is uploaded to the machine. So maybe we won't even need the brains in the jar. Anyway, back to the story. So what's exciting is that we know that nature is no longer has to force changes on us. Oh, yeah. No more evolution. Humans are going to force it with their mad science medicine. and this could give rise to some weird and wonderful future forms and creatures. Yeah, what? Like the chimeras you're making in labs? The pig, dog, human, chickens? Future forms and creations, from changing video displays on our faces to controlling our own dreams, our evolving imaginations are the only limit. Dr. Pearson believes that with a full link between the human brain and the computer, people could move their mind into an improved android body. That's what they want. And this would allow people to have multiple existences and identities, or to carry on living long after their biological death, he wrote in the Future Human Report. And while this technology could be available as soon as 2050, it may come cheap enough to be widespread by 2070. Plus, by the end of the century, there will likely be several types of humans. Yeah, the ones who could pay for it to be augmented, and the ones who cannot. The ones with good breeding stock because they didn't eat junk food and were stressed out. And then the ones without. There could be several types of humans, including human-machine hybrids and people living in android bodies, as well as quote-unquote smart creatures. We will certainly technologically advance some of our pets and the wildlife too, and might even create an entire new species, such as real Furbies. The predictions mean futuristic characters such as Doug the Talking Dog could be a reality. It's the young people who come to the fair who help drive these innovations. Yeah, because they prey on our young people in the colleges. Today's young people will not only get the experience wearing muscles and owning smart pets, but they will decide what they look like. All right, guys, we'll make sure you stick around because, believe it or not, it's already over. It's Monday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is up next. And then there's all kinds of great radio tonight on Mondays. 6, Our Interesting Times with Tim Kelly. 7, Corbett. 8, Unlock the Door. 9, brand new Brandon Turberville. 10, Cutting Through the Matrix. And 11, Anti-Media Live with Nikki DB. Have a great Monday, guys. We'll catch up with you soon.